For being here at Scream Fest. I've been here all week. I've been watching all the movies. Your influence is evident almost on all of them in some way or other. There was last night. Who saw Vicky last night? It was a program. It was a short film that was basically a love letter to Christine. So, obviously we haven't seen the movie yet, so I just want to, I don't want to keep it too specific, but how did you find the church, the main church that we see in the film?
The church is in downtown Los Angeles here, I believe. Peter Jason told me it was Spring Street in 1st and 2nd. It was an abandoned church. Now I think it's something else, but it looks basically the same. It was perfect for us. It was isolated in the city landscape, and it was very cheap, which we loved.
And then you shot the rest of the film at your old...
USC, and then we were out in... Lancaster, in a soundstage, shooting the interiors.
And now, you will see the credit when it comes up, written by Martin Quatermass, but that's a fake name, that's you.
That's a fake name, it's sort of an homage to one of my favorite characters in science fiction, Bernard Quatermass, was in several movies in the 50s and 60s. It came from a BBC serial written by Nigel Neal. It's way back before all of you were born, so... But if you want to see some interesting stuff, check it out. Bernard Quatermass.
And speaking of the credit, that opening theme, is that, do you know offhand, is that the longest piece of music you've ever done? It's like 9 minutes long, that opening.
It must be.
It's like jarring when you watch the movie the first time it stops. It's like, oh, there's been music nonstop. It's
nine minutes?
It's something like 9 minutes, yeah. You were more patient back then. Obviously we have Peter here. This was your first of, what, 7 films with Peter?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. How did you find him?
My wife recommended him. She had worked with him on The Long Riders, a Western that Walter Hill directed. And Reckitt thought he was a great actor, somehow. And Pete and I just hit it off. And we've been together ever since. We've been friends. We still hang around together.
Your first film with Peter, by the way, turned out to be your last film with Donald Pleasence after a few.
That's right.
Yeah. How was he on this? This was a more normal character for him.
Donald was a friend and could play anything. And in this particular part, he got to sort of play a heroic character, which I think he enjoyed. He was playing heavies most of his career.
You're doing a lot of comic works now. Have you ever thought, adapting? I think this would make for a terrific comic, actually. I know there's a Snake one a while back. Have you ever thought of readapting any of your old films like this to do a comic form?
Not really, but why not?
Yeah, do it. All right, you guys are beat it, right? All right, let's. You guys got questions for this guy? Yeah, I'll send that hand first.
I have a question I've always wanted to ask you. The Starman was one of the one films that has three makeup effects artists working on the same movie. Dick Smith, Rick Baker, and Stan Winston. And I was curious, will we ever see... I know I read that the sequence was kind of chopped up a little bit. Will we ever see that sequence in its entirety, kind of as a tribute on some kind of Starman DVD or Blu-ray?
Well, originally we hired Dick Smith, who's a legendary special effects makeup guy. He did The Exorcist, among a number of things. And he didn't want to do all the stuff, so he brought in Rick Baker and Stan Winston, and they did most of the work. Dick Smith, his one idea about Starman changing from a baby into Jeff Bridges, was a series of sculptures that he animated. And it looked like stop-motion animation. It didn't work. So I said, well, what am I going to do with this? So I had ILM blend it together and make it smoother. I don't want you to see the original. What you see is the best there is.
Cool. Thank you.
Yes, sir, here.
Question about John. Have you had a chance to see the sequel to the
Talking about the remake of The Thing. Show me your teeth. Oh, let's still talk about that. It's fine. It's fine. They work real hard on it. You know, it's fine. God bless. Back there, glasses.
Yep. It seems like we're going through a painful transition in filmmaking right now, where it's how you can monetize and make money making movies is really, really challenging for filmmakers, and we're transitioning towards this new media online. Do you have any advice? I mean, having done 34 films that you wrote that were made into motion pictures, I can't even fathom a filmmaker doing that as successfully as you in the current environment. Do you have any advice for filmmakers and
Yeah, find a time machine and come back when I started. The business has completely changed now. And I don't know what to tell you, man. You just got to keep at it. But make your own movie. The good thing is that you have the technology at your fingertips. If you care enough and you want to make a movie, make one. Make a great movie. Get it shown. Start. You got to start somewhere. And you can't sit alone and feel sorry for yourself. You're not going to get anywhere. So my advice is make a film. Make a great film.
Get him to do the music. Yeah, Russell.
You've made so many films on so many different budget levels. In your opinion, do you have one particular film that is the most complete vision that you started with that actually ended up as your vision intended?
No, never. Every movie that I've made, I can't look at it anymore, because if I look at it, I see all the mistakes. And I start groaning and moaning, and I turn my eyes away. Why did I do that? Why did I shoot it like that? Why did I let him overact like that? It's better to have more money than less money. You get to buy more tools and toys to play with. You get to have cranes and better equipment. You can hire better folks to make your film. It's always good to have more money, but that doesn't mean it's going to be a better movie. I just was really lucky in my career. I started on an ultra-low budget movie, and I've done all sorts of stuff, from studios to independents and back and forth. And I really feel sorry for all of you who are filmmakers, because you don't know what great times we had and what kind of opportunities we had when I came into the business. I think it's all changed now. But anyway, I don't mean to depress you. Everything is all good.
Right. Things are not being filmed on film anymore. We just went to the Cinerama Festival here, and I haven't seen it since I was a kid, and it just blew me away. And I guess my concern is, the technology of making the film is great, what it's being shown on is not as impressive as it used to be.
Well, I think this is the last year, 2012, the last year in general in the United States where there are movie projectors, film projectors. It will all change to digital. And this is a decision that the theater owners and the studios made. Many films are still shot on film, but they're finished in digital. I've done it. I've worked on completing a film in digital. It's great. It's fun. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending how you look at it, as you get older, things start to happen to you. And one of the things is my eyes are not as good as they used to be. I had to have a bunch of surgeries this year. So it all looks great to me. It looks great. And I don't go out to the movies anymore. I stay home and watch, because I've got a great big screen TV with great, great sound. And the Academy sends me all the movies every year, so I don't have to pay for them. It's really, really neat. And I can watch the NBA on there. I don't want to leave my house.
This guy right here.
Robin, it's an honor to be in your presence. You're one of my lifelong heroes.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
I have a question for you. I've noticed in many of your films you have an underlying mood that sort of seeps in, the paranoia and feeling of, I've noticed, doom, footprints of darkness. Could you maybe explain any conscious filmmaking techniques you use, such as camera angles, lighting, music, editing, that you use with your film specifically?
All of it. All of it goes together. And it all starts with the story and what you're trying to achieve with the story and the thematic nature of the story, okay? That's where you get all your inspiration. How you shoot it, what kind of music, where the music carries you, the colors that you use, the colors that you use in the finishing process. It's all should be united around the thematic material that you're working with. So there's no specific secret. You know, in since I was a kid, the basics of cinematic storytelling have not changed. They're the same. The last big change was probably Birth of a Nation or maybe Citizen Kane a little bit. But the specifics of cinematic storytelling are exactly the same as the old days. What's changed is the technology and the audiences and the kind of movies that are being made. So I find that I'm an old-time guy. I'm an old-school director. I just go back to the things that I used to love and how they affected me and what kind of mood they cast over me. Now, can we have one more question? I've got to go meet my drug dealer. So,
I would love to see you make another Vampires movie with a female protagonist vampire and James Wood back again for a recall if you ever consider it.
You got money? I'll make it. Watch it. All right, thanks.